Hey everyone, welcome back to a new episode of the One Good Scare podcast. I'm Natalie Zamora and I'm joined here with my co-host Max Mallow, and we took a quick hiatus from the podcast. We're back now, we're better than ever. We are here today to talk about the Fear Street movies coming to Netflix. The first movie comes out next Friday, July 2nd, so definitely mark your calendars. We're going to be talking to one of the stars of the trilogy in just a little bit. So, hey, Max.
Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. Yeah. We're back.
Apologies for all of our listeners out there for the hiatus. Army of the Dead just really upset me. now, the Fear Street trilogy, which will be kind of previewing a little bit today, is something that's been on our radars for a little bit. The trailer that recently came out from Netflix has us both extremely excited for the next three movies that are coming out. And we're super excited to talk to Jeremy Ford today, who appears in the first one, 1994, and the last one, 1666. There are a lot of years and numbers in
these
titles.
I keep wanting to say 1966 because yeah. It throws me off that it's not 19.
Yeah, I've been working really hard into reading and saying numbers, so that's really good. But yeah, the interesting thing about these movies is that you'll hear from Jeremy as well that these are three different horror movies all piled into one trilogy, which is awesome. And it's got a title, Fear Street, that's attached to it, which is a kid's book series from R.L. Stine that we all grew up with and loved, adjacent to Goosebumps. And we've just been clamoring for more horror from Netflix. We're just like, hey, more horror, please. Like, if you're not going to give us Stranger Things, please give us something different. And Jeremy has some high praise for this trilogy when it comes to Stranger Things. So I'm really, really excited for all of our listeners to hear our conversation with him.
Yeah, definitely. I think he shed some good insight as much as he could without giving away spoilers. And I think, you know, the trailer looks awesome, but I think there's way more to it that we're not going to see until we just watch the movie. So I'm hype. I'm so hype.
For sure. And the number one thing that I got from the trailers, because I love slasher movies, and you're definitely going to hit the two big genres of slasher movies, which is the 90s when it comes to the meta slashers and Scream, and I Know What You Did Last Summer, yada, yada, yada. And you get that summer camp, Friday the 13th, sleepaway camp type vibe, which is also going to be super cool. And on top of that, you're getting this period, this Salem Witch Trials-esque horror film at the end of the trilogy. So really excited and hope you guys enjoy the conversation. And we'll definitely be sure to review all three movies. And that gives us content for the whole month of July. So thank God we don't got to brainstorm anything.
There you go. So before we get to our interview with Jeremy Ford, we of course have our weekly horror news roundup.
Where?
Did you say it?
I thought you were going to say it. You'd be like, well, I've scoured the internet for everything you need to know because I'm Natalie Zamora and I know everything.
Yeah, google.com. I know everything.
For sure. So this first piece of news is something that we knew was coming out. We didn't know any information around it, but of course it is the spinoff to FX's American Horror Story, which is American Horror Stories. They've dropped a consonant and added a vowel and another consonant and another vowel. The first teaser for it kind of gives off some Murder House vibes, which is awesome. And it is going to be released on July 15th. And man, of course we know double features coming out this summer. And that's going to be the next season in the mainline series of American Horror Story. I wonder if they're kind of spreading themselves thin here and they're kind of just trying to do too much. I don't know. What'd you get from the teaser?
I agree. I mean, I'm excited for both, especially like you said, Murder House vibes with the return of the rubber man, the guy in that terrifying costume suit. But yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I am not sure if I really want this to come out in July, then double feature to come out right after at the end of August. It's like, of course, I'm grateful for the content, but at the same time, we haven't gotten a new season of American Horror Story in years. So now this just feels like overexposure, kind of. Like, I just don't know how good the franchise is going to be if they're releasing stuff this frequent. Unless this is just kind of a one-time thing that they're doing back-to-back stuff and it's an experiment. I don't know, but we already know with the franchise, we've talked about it a million times, it gets old at some points. Some seasons are not as good as others, and I just don't know how long they can keep the franchise alive.
Yeah, I totally get that. And it's maybe just like going to the well too much to be like, hey, Rubber Man, Rubber Woman, Murder House, Dylan McDermott, Connie Britton. And yeah, I don't know. I think I fell out of love with American Horror Story just like 5 years ago. Like Roanoke was the last one I was like extremely excited for. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. You liked Apocalypse and Cult, right?
Yeah, I loved Apocalypse. Yeah, Cult was good. I loved Apocalypse. And then 1984, I didn't finish it because I just couldn't get into it. And that was, 2 years ago?
Yeah. It's been a while. It has been a while. So, yeah, watch the trailer for that and let us know what you think of the teaser, of course. It's going to release on – it's not going to be on TV, right? It's going to be on FX Now, their streaming service, right?
Is that right? I think it's going to be FX and then Hulu, I want to say.
Okay. That might be FX, FX on Hulu.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I don't know. If you have a Hulu subscription, you're good to go.
I do.
Oh, you do? Well, lucky you. I don't. But my girlfriend does. Maybe I'll still hear her Hulu account. Or I just won't watch this cause, like the other seasons of American Horror Story. It's just like too much. It's too much at some point.
I'll let you know.
Now, this next trailer is something I cannot get enough of, which is Nia DaCosta and Jordan Peele's upcoming reboot spiritual sequel of the things that come in a movie that's being made after the original movie was made years ago, but it's back and they're doing the same title, you know, all those things. It is the new trailer for Candyman, and this movie is going to be the movie of the summer. There's no way it's not for me. August 27th, this trailer hit all the notes I want out of a horror movie, and Jordan Peele, Nia DaCosta, when they were announced to do this project together, had both of us extremely excited, and now this trailer gives us some really good visuals and more in-depth explanation without giving us like too much explanation, because there's still some mystery behind it from what's to come from this sequel. I don't know what to say, what title to give this film, but it's amazing. It looks awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I think the first trailer that came out looked good. I was excited. But when I watched the second trailer this week, got chills automatically. Like just hearing Coleman Domingo's narration in the beginning, I was like, oh my gosh. It got me so excited. And this looks fantastic. And we were just talking about it, you know, before we started recording the episode. But it looks like it's, you know, of course it's a reimagining, but it looks like it's a reimagining of Candyman, the villain, not just the original movie. So I'm excited to, you know, not know what's going to happen. I'm excited for it to be something different.
For sure. And the movie's in good hands. Like, I'm not worried that either Jordan Peele or Nia DaCosta would fumble this movie and just, it would be a mess going in and be like, why would you touch this project? I'm sure they did a great job with it. And I'm sure this movie is going to be amazing. And we will hopefully, today is my day that I am officially vaccinated after 2 weeks of getting my second dose. So now if I want to go to a theater safely, I think I can if it's safe. So who knows, in 2 months, maybe we'll go see Candyman in theaters, Natalie. Maybe that'll be the first. Oh, you went to a theater already.
I went to see A Quiet Place too, and it was awesome. So I was going to say, go see that in theaters.
There you go. You are the leader of the I Hate Quiet Place 1 fan club, so that's crazy.
Apparently, yeah, the second one was so good. I loved it, and it was so good to watch it in theaters. I would highly recommend.
Did you do like a big megaplex, or did you do?
We went to Nighthawk in Brooklyn.
Cool. Total safe, felt comfortable.
Yeah, I've actually went again. I went to go see the Hitman's Bodyguard's Wife or whatever, only because there was nothing else playing and we really wanted to go to Nighthawk again. So yeah, it felt safe. It felt good. And I was more than 2 weeks out of my vaccination. Everyone listening, I was safe. So, and you still wear masks inside. So.
Gotcha. Well, that's great. I'm glad you got to experience a theater again. I'm sure I'll do it soon. But if we're going to if we should see a movie together, I think the last movie we saw together was Disaster Artist. No, It. That's right. We saw It. Chapter 2. Oh, God.
You deleted it from your memory.
Yeah. God, I totally forgot about that. That was the funniest experience, walking out of that theater. And you, myself, and Gnome our coworker, all just turning to each other and being like, "That kind of sucked, right?" And we're like, "Yeah, that kind of sucked."
You know what? We saw another bad movie after that, and that was The Last Jedi. Or no, The
Rise of
Rise of
Skywalker.
Skywalker.
Oh, that was after that? Oh, that was also
I
really
think
bad. That
so.
was also really bad. And then my girlfriend was like, "I enjoyed that." And we all looked at her and was like, "Really?" And, you know, not to say anything bad about my girlfriend. I love you, Kim, if you're listening. Probably not. But man, that's the one thing you don't say after walking out of a Star Wars new trilogy movie is, "That was pretty good." No, all those movies are crap. Fuck those movies. Thanks for
I
sh
like the first two.
nah.
I think I walked out of the first two saying that was pretty.
Nah, thanks to Disney for shitting on my childhood. I appreciate that a lot. But yeah, hopefully we can all see Candyman together in theaters. That would be awesome. And then the final piece of news that Natalie's put down, and I want to bring your attention to something else as well, is obviously there's a prequel to Orphan coming out, which is, I feel like, a cult favorite for a lot of people out there in the horror genre. Isabelle Fuhrman, who is returning to play Esther in the prequel, has gone on record talking about it in an interview, and she says that people are going to be shocked by this upcoming prequel and the first kill. So, in terms of, or Orphan first kill rather. So, what do you think about this? Are you excited for this prequel at all?
I'm very excited. But I threw this interview in here because I thought it was interesting that she said people are going to be shocked by it. But also, she said what I think is most exciting about it is that it's something that's never been done cinematically.
Everything's
Question
been done.
mark.
Everything's been done. That's why Hollywood is remaking things. Everything has been done. That's why,
That's
yeah.
why I wanted to talk about it. Like, what does she possibly mean? The first movie, okay, I'm sorry, it's a good movie, it's a guilty pleasure. I thought the twist was so
I
good.
never said it was bad. I just said it was a cult favorite. People love that movie.
But then when I said I loved it, you said, or that I was excited for the new one, you
Yeah, I don't know. Temper your expectations a little bit there, pal. I don't know.
But no, I am excited. I don't know if it's going to be good or not. I'm just curious about this quote. Like, I just don't know what it could be that's never been done before. It's piqued my interest.
It just halfway through the movie transforms into an anime, and Esther is fighting Goku or something like that. I don't know. That
That
is something that's never been done before. Or they like open a door and transport themselves into a different universe. That'd be interesting. But yeah, obviously, as a prequel, they have to be very careful with the whole twist in the original one and how that'll play into the prequel. So
good.
maybe that's what she's hinting at. That'll be interesting. I probably won't see that one.
It doesn't have a release date,
Oh,
but be
okay.
watching it whenever it does.
Gotcha. Perfect. I'll look out for the release date and I'll think about seeing it. But anyway, I'm saying this now because we're recording this intro after we record the conversation with Jeremy Ford. And Jeremy told us that he was like, "You guys don't pull any punches when it comes to your takes on horror." And I was like, "Wow." And now I said that about this movie and I feel really bad. I'm like, "Was I just too harsh about that?" But then that's also going against everything he said about the podcast. He was like, "Yeah, like have a take, say something." But now I'm like, "Nah, man, I feel bad. I'm just feeling terrible."
I know, I'm like, am I that judgmental? But that's also our job, so.
Yeah, it's on the job description. Be judgmental. And then the last thing, did you see this stuff about this movie coming out called Karen?
Yes.
What is the deal with this?
What the hell? I didn't watch. There's a trailer, right? I didn't watch that.
Yeah, it's like Twitter's been doing this thing recently. It's definitely not like brand new, but it's been going on for the past couple of months and at least a year now, where they'll put a description, like paragraph, on your explore tab for all the hashtags that are trending and all the topics and stuff, and they'll just like explain what's going on briefly, so you have, I guess, some context when you click on a trend. And I read the description for what people were talking about with this movie, and I was like, "What?" I was like, "Oh no, this is not good." It's like, why? It seems like a total ripoff of Get Out and everything that Jordan Peele did, with that movie. And yeah, I started to watch trailer. I turned it off immediately. Oh, just why?
I need to watch the trailer, honestly, because I'm just too curious. I'm too nosy. I need to know. But That was my initial thought too. I saw it trending on Twitter. People said it was a knockoff of Get Out, and I was like, yep, scroll to something else. I don't need to see this.
Not today, internet.
Yeah. Not today. Yep. And Taryn Manning is in it, who's like a pretty famous actress. So don't know what that choice was, but yeah.
Who knows? I was like, oh, there's a movie coming out called Karen. That's going to be kind of funny, right? Like, you could totally see a horror character being based off of a Karen. That would be awesome.
Yeah, or it would be like a Wayans Brothers, like a new White Chicks.
Oh, like, what was that movie? Was it was a Haunted House, a Wayans Brother movie? I think they were in it, right?
They were definitely in it. I don't know if they made it, but yeah.
It's like they spoofed like Paranormal Activity and all. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be like a, I guess, a spiritual successor to Scary Movie.
Scary Movie, yeah. It was.
And I never saw those, but there's that one clip that everyone remembers from, I think it must have been around the time during Vine, where he's like, I don't give a fuck, Keisha? At least I talk, when she's talking about the ghosts in the house. Oh, man. Fun movies. But yeah, I don't know. This movie, like, that's why I say everything's been done in horror. We're spinning off Get Out. It's already been done recently. Yeah.
And this is like, doesn't look like it's done well.
Is anything done well in this world? That's a question for you. But hopefully you guys think this interview with Jeremy Ford was done well. We had a blast talking to him.
All right, awesome. So we're going to take our first quick break. And then when we come back, we'll have our interview with Jeremy Ford. So stay tuned. All right, everyone, we have a very special guest on the podcast today. Jeremy Ford is an actor who is starring in the upcoming Netflix movie series, The Fear Street Trilogy, which is based on Arl Stein's book series of the same name. He's featured in the first movie, 1994, and the third, 1666. You can also catch him in the Apple TV show, The Mosquito Coast, which was just recently renewed for a second season. Welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Thank you, guys. It's very lovely to be here. And as I already told you, I enjoy your guys' podcast. So, yeah, happy to be here.
That's awesome to hear. Yeah, really appreciate you joining us and taking the time. Fear Street, this three-part series, when we first saw the trailer for it, definitely excited us. We've been craving more horror content from Netflix for sure, especially with no release date set for Stranger Things Season 4, as Natalie and I are both huge fans of that series, as is a huge portion of the world. But when this trailer dropped, you know, you got a ton of nostalgia with just R.L. Stein being a huge part of my childhood with Goosebumps in particular, and I'm sure with Natalie as well. So it's awesome to have you on the show and to chat about this upcoming trilogy.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, you know, you said, you know, Stranger Things 4, you don't know when that's going to come out. This, like, the Fear Street trilogy is, like, going to, like, more than satiate that sort of Stranger Things desire. I could pretty much guarantee that.
Awesome. That's super exciting. So, of course, the first question we have to ask you, were you a fan of R.L. Stein growing up? And is this something that, you know, you joined the project because of that? Or were you not familiar with his work?
I was familiar with like Goosebumps. I didn't read it. Like everyone around me sort of read it. And I was like a total chicken, I guess, when I was a kid. Like I hated being scared. Like some kids like get like the thrill from, not me. Like I was a real sort of fraidy cat. But honestly, I wasn't even familiar with the Fear Street books until I actually came onto the project. And then I started talking to other people sort of, you know, in our age range and our generation. And apparently they were super popular books and I just happened to miss the train. But yeah, I mean, from what I understand, they're great. But what the movies do, it's going to be, I think, badass.
For sure. And you mentioned that, that Stranger Things craving that everyone is having right now, and that this trilogy will kind of satiate that. You know, obviously Sadie Sink is in it and Maya Hawke, who have both been in the Stranger Things franchise. And the overall trailer, you know, obviously when you're growing up and reading Goosebumps, they do kind of give off a PG vibe. Obviously there was that Jack Black Goosebumps movie, I believe, which was also PG.
Yeah, very PG.
But this movie has the trailer had all the things that Natalie and I love about horror movies. And at the top of that list is gore, and it's going for that R rating. So in terms of that vibe on set and what the trailer gives off for the trilogy of these movies, do you think it's going to, you know, target that audience for us as we were growing up as kids loving those books, and now we want that hardcore R-rated horror movie when we go either to a theater when it's safe again or on our streaming services.
Yeah, I mean, that was like one of the best parts about reading these scripts. I mean, when I was auditioning for it and I sort of got further and further into the process, at a certain point, and this is back when the films were 20th Century Fox films, they sent me all three scripts in one night, like, hey, read all these tonight. Let us know if you're interested. And I'm like, that's hilarious that you think I wouldn't be interested, but sure, you know, I'll play your cute little games. So I read all three scripts like back to back to back all in one night. And I kind of stayed up all night reading them. And I was like, wow, these are like really like great rated R, like rated R in the best way. Like, I don't want to give away any of like the fantastic violence, but there's some really like great original deaths where you're like, holy, like who, like what sick freak came up with that? And they don't pull their punches. Like, you know, I've seen the first movie and I've seen the third movie and it's brutal. Like there's a couple moments where like my wife was like turning away and I'm like, I have to watch just because I'm so curious, but it's gnarly. And in terms of like the relation to Stranger Things, I mean, I keep saying this trilogy is like a cousin to Stranger Things, and not only because of Sadie Sink and Maya Hawke, but Lee Janiak, our fearless director for all three movies. I mean, her husband is Ross Duffer, who's one of the brothers who created Stranger Things.
Oh, wow.
Caleb Heyman, the cinematographer for Fear Street, is also the cinematographer for Stranger Things. There's a lot of overlap in like the best, most exciting way. So this is like fun, poppy, nostalgic Stranger Things with like a rated R twist.
Nice. That definitely gets us very excited. I can see the smile on Max's face right now.
Yeah. There was, when we reviewed Freaky last year, around Thanksgiving, it filled that need of being a slasher movie that Natalie and I are huge fans of that subgenre of horror, while also being gory, but also towing the line of what we knew growing up of like the Saw movies and the Hostel movies. And there's a point where you can go over that limit and really hit home an awesome point in the movie. And Freaky did that really well. And I got that same vibe from the trailer for all three trilogies. And what's, I guess, Natalie and I definitely want clarification on this because, of course, it's three movies and they all have a different year attached to them, but it all plays into one giant story. And you're in the first and the third one. So without too many spoilers, how does your character play into the beginning and the ending of this trilogy?
It's a very good question. It's very tricky to explain it without spoiling. Here's, I guess, the best way to say it. So, you know, all three movies take place in three different time periods, you know, 1994, 1978, and 1666. So the first two movies sort of utilize two different casts. Like, you got the 1990s cast and the 1970s cast. And the third movie kind of utilizes both casts in that, like, sort of 17th century world, which, again, that's not clarifying anything. That might actually make it more confusing for you. And that's kind of my goal, because I wanted to watch these. But the best way of saying it is, like, we sort of play, like, our 17th century counterparts, if that makes any more sense.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. That definitely, I think you clarified it without giving spoilers, and I'm more confused, but I'm also more interested. So.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, all three movies take place, you know, it's like in the R.L. Stine fictional town of Shadyside, Ohio. But all three movies take place in the same city, and it's like, as you go through the movies, you're getting like to the root of like, why this town, Shadyside, is cursed. So, you know, you end up sort of like going all the way back to the 1600s to the sort of like puritanical early American witch trials kind of thing.
Yeah, that's
awesome. That's probably already saying too much, but hey, I'll give you guys some extra breadcrumbs.
Thank you. I'm curious too. So since, you know, like you're saying, each movie takes place a completely different year, completely different time period. So for you as an actor, jumping between, you know, 1666, 1994, was that hard for you to do? And did you have a preference on your favorite year?
Yeah, you know, just as far as the favorite, I actually really liked the 1666 movie. Only, I guess, mainly because it's such a departure from, like, the real world. You know, 90s, yeah, it was 20-some-odd years ago, but it's not a far cry from where we're at today, where the 1600s is, like, what a departure. And, you know, like the studios, it was so great. They like built this 17th century village for us, like out in the middle of the woods in Atlanta. It was amazing. It was like, as an actor, it was like so easy to sort of get swept up in the world because, I mean, you're doing, you know, 5 14-hour days in a row every week in this village. It was wild. As far as like my approach, I mean, I kind of just had to approach them as two different parts, which they are, you know, like I play a character named Peter in 1994 and he's like the sort of hotshot asshole football player from like the rival school. And he sort of gets, you know, caught up in the curse of Shadyside. And then in 1666, I play a character named Peter, totally like, you know, unrelated. And yeah, I mean, the approach was really just like, especially with the 1600s, I approached it as, you know, it's very early American and it's like witch trials. And like, to me, like there's nothing more scary than like religion and people using religion in the wrong way. Like when religion gets in like the wrong hands, it's so dangerous, actually. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was a big difference with like just the character and the backstory and like who they are on like a moral scale. So yeah, I just sort of parsed it up into two different pieces, which was, you know, easiest for me.
For sure. And I feel like a couple of our movies for Natalie and I from the past decade that have been at the top of our favorites have kind of fallen into some of these own time periods that the Fear Street trilogy is covering in three separate movies. Of course, like the 90s, my favorite horror movie of all time is Scream. And, you know, the second part definitely has some Friday the 13th, Sleepaway Camp vibes, definitely being at a summer camp. And then we both love The Witch, which definitely gets that vibe from the 1666 film, which I feel like that it's something we have to go to different places if we want a genre of horror. And it's super interesting that this trilogy is going to cover and be ambitious when it comes to hitting all three notes at once over the course of three different weeks, which is awesome. Did you have a favorite year between the two?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the 90s was cool because it was sort of like a blast from the past as far as like the way everyone dresses and the music. And, you know, I use music a lot as far as like prepping for certain roles. And I had like a 1994 playlist. It was very like Ice Cube heavy and, you know, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. And, you know, I had some Fresh print songs in there. And the music was so fun. But as far as like what I enjoyed the most, I definitely enjoyed the 1600s because I did so much research on like the Salem witch trials and that whole like 17th century early American witch craze kind of stuff. And it was so new to me. So it really sort of like piqued my fancy. And again, that whole like religion thing, like religion in the wrong hands. Once I latched onto that idea, it sort of like opened up the world for me. I'm like, okay, I think I see my character Caleb. Like he's a shitty guy. And if anyone's going to use religion in like the worst way, it's going to be this guy.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of specific scenes, because the trailer definitely hints at some crazy gore that's going to come in the film, are there any hints or specific scenes that we should look out for, or ones that are like, yeah, that's my favorite one from any of the parts of the movies?
Yeah, there's two moments in 1994 that I think are just spectacular. One is just out of the gate, and you'll know what I'm talking about when you see it. It's really like, if you love sort of like 90s slasher movies, the first Fear Street is going to like blow your mind. And there's also like this huge sort of climax at the end where there's just one particular death I keep wanting to tell people about, but I just can't because it's such a spoiler. But there's one death when I'm just like, oh my God, like I rewound it and watched it a few times. I'm like, I was there, but like, how did they do that? Like, it's such, it's gut wrenching. So there's some really spectacular deaths in 1994. And as far as 1666, yeah, you know, it's really, you're going to love them. And I can't say too much more, but what you're saying with like three different movies and three different time periods, I mean, yeah, it's the same sort of like heart throughout all three movies, but you really are getting three different brands of horror. You are getting that 90s Scream, like sort of slasher. You're getting the 70s, you know, Friday the 13th, like summer camp. The way they're shot, the way they're edited, the way they're put together, the music, the wardrobe, it's all the same people, but like they could not be three more different movies. It's wild. It's a really impressive undertaking. And, you know, watching the two movies that I've seen, I'm so thrilled to like actually think they're good.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. We're so excited. So what was your favorite part about filming these movies? And we also wanted to ask you about, because we know that you filmed these before COVID. They were supposed to start coming out last summer, and then obviously that didn't happen. So what was that experience like both filming the movies and then also finding out that they might not come out for a very long time?
Yeah, well, I'll start with the first question because that's easier and quicker to answer. As far as like what was like the most fun part, I mean, this was like by far the biggest production I've ever been on. You know, like I've done so many like just stupid low budget films. I don't mean like the films are stupid. I mean, the budget is so low. It's stupid that they were able to make movies with that kind of money. And, you know, I've done so many projects where it's like, oh, there's like literally 20 people on set. When I showed up for Fear Street, like day one, there's like 160 people milling around. And you know, I'm a pretty confident guy usually. And I've done so many like low budget films. I usually walk on the set with a lot of confidence. I walked on to Fear Street with confidence, but as soon as I saw everyone, I mean, I panicked. Like it really sort of rocked me. And in fact, like my very first day on 1994, I show up, tons of people. I'm like, oh shit. Like, what did I get myself into? They mic me up and it's the first scene. You know, and like they just go right like a close up on me. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm trying to like psych myself up. I'm completely seeing red. My adrenaline is so high, but I'm like, okay, Jeremy, you got this. Come on, let's go. We fire off the first take and they call cut. I'm like, okay, cool. I think that went well. I think the sound guy comes over. Everyone's resetting and the sound guy comes over and he readjusts the lavalier mic that's taped to my chest and just really quietly just to me. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to move this because your heart's actually beating so loud. We can't hear your lines. And I'm like, wow, everyone's in Video Village, like the director and the producers, like just listening to my heartbeat and they're just watching my mouth move and they can't hear it. What a terrible first impression.
It proves you're excited.
Yeah, that's a great story though.
Yeah, I guess. So that was my first impression and it was good. But then it got better after that. So I mean just like the scope of the movies and again, like them building that village for us out in the woods for the third one. It was just so fun. Like it was the most sort of like childlike filmmaking experience I've ever had. And as far as like, yeah, waiting 2 years for them to come out, it was an emotional journey because, yeah, we did all three of these movies back to back to back in 2019, mm-hmm. which is like remarkable for like the cast and crew, especially the director and all the crew. They did not stop. And it was like 9 months of making these movies. And at that time, you know, it was in the hands of 20th Century, which then got acquired by Disney halfway through shooting the first one. And the promise was like, oh, they're going to be in theaters all 1 month apart. That was the original game plan. I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, the sort of like film loving romantic in me was like, oh, cool. They're going to be in theaters. Like what a, I don't know, that excited me.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic hit. And I think, you know, it kind of like threw Disney for a loop and Disney's like, we're not going to put these on Disney Plus. They're, you know, rated R horror films. It's not quite on brand for Disney Plus. And then I think, you know, that's when Netflix came in and they showed a real interest in it and they swooped up the projects. And when that was announced, I was just like over the moon because, I mean, who doesn't want a Netflix original trilogy, especially in the vein of like Stranger Things? And it was just like, it was so exciting when that was announced. And yeah, now here we are literally 2 years later and they're coming out.
Yeah. We were talking about this before we started recording that the idea of releasing them 1 month apart in theaters would have been innovative and super interesting and would have definitely piqued our interest. You know, but 2 years later now with the state of the world and how accustomed we are to streaming all of our content. And especially for us who, you know, we're constantly saying Netflix, we want more horror. Like you have other streaming services releasing other content. And then this comes out and it's something that we can look forward to for the next 3 weeks in July is perfect. It's exactly what we want from our content. And we're extremely excited that it's coming out on Netflix. Now in terms of, what's next for you, do you have any projects in the works you could potentially talk about, especially in the horror genre, perhaps?
Not in the horror genre, but I'm just going to plug my own stuff real quick.
Yeah, of course.
You know, right. Yeah. You know, I'm just going to do that shameless actor thing. right when the pandemic started, my wife and I just sort of like put our heads together, like, okay, what can we do with our free time? And we ended up writing a feature film script together. And it just started off as sort of like a fun undertaking. And then, you know, we ended up becoming really proud of what we came up with. And at the beginning of this year, we actually got it financed. Like, we got two executive producers to come in and, you know, give us the money to make it. So we're actually in pre-production on that. We start shooting in the fall, and we're really proud of it. And, you know, we have a fantastic director on board. His name's Jack Cooper Stimson. He has some really incredible films under his belt, and we have a great cinematographer on board. And, you know, we're really swinging for the fences as far as like casting. You know, it's a father-son drama, and I want to tell you the names that we're looking into to play my dad, but I can't just for, you know, I don't want to change myself, I guess. But yeah, we start shooting that in the fall, and like I'm super excited and proud for that.
That's awesome.
Super not a horror film, but you know.
That's okay. We'll watch it anyway.
I mean, talk about making the most of your time in quarantine. And that's awesome. After doing these three films though, would you want to go back into horror at all?
Yeah, actually. I mean, the great thing about like a horror film is, you know, I guess as an actor, you don't really treat it as a horror film. You kind of just treat it as a drama. I think as an actor, you kind of treat everything as a drama, even like comedy. Like, you look at Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly and Step Brothers, like, they're treating that like it's life or death, which is why it's so funny, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I mean, doing a horror, it was like really elevated drama and an opportunity to, like, you know, I play some really sort of like scumbaggy characters in Fear Street. An opportunity to be like that level of a scumbag and to be involved in those sort of like horrific scenarios. What a dream. Like, I would kill to do that again.
Awesome. So, okay. So we have one last question for you. If you had to name just one thing for viewers to get out of the Fear Street movies, what do you hope for?
Do I have to choose one?
No.
Okay. I'm going to give you two. Well, one I already touched on. I mean, like, you're literally getting three completely different horror films, like back to back to back in your living room. And I promise, like, they're so damn good. So that's great. And also, this is like a big mainstream studio horror trilogy where front and center, you have a queer love story. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic. And I'm so grateful to be a part of something so special like that.
Awesome.
Amazing. Yeah. So thank you so much for hopping on. This has been so much fun. And now I'm even more excited. I think I'm most excited for 1666 now. You really hyped it up.
Good. Okay. Good.
Not wait.
For sure.
Yeah. You guys are great. Thank you so much for talking to me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you so much. All right. So thank you, Jeremy, for joining us. I think that was super, super exciting. And Max and I cannot wait to watch the Fear Street movies. Like I said early on in the podcast, the first movie, 1994, drops on Netflix Friday, July 2nd. We're already in July, insane. So that's a week from today. Don't miss it. And thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next week with a new episode.